We have been looking at the life of Abraham. We have been noticing he is our example in the life of faith, since he is referred to in the Bible basically as the father of the faith. Today we want to talk about Abraham's reward. In other words, when faith is rewarded. Genesis chapter 21, let's look in more detail, verses 1 through 7, shall we? And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son, now notice, in his old age at the set time which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son, who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. She also said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son in his old age. Our theme basically today is this: God always rewards faith. You may think, well, does he? Yes. God always rewards faith. So let's start with that point. God rewards faith. You might jot by this passage, this verse, Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, which says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that, notice, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Abraham had sought God throughout most of the end of his life. We read that at 75, he left Ur of the Chaldees, that he came into this relationship with God. Abraham had believed God's promises. One of those promises was that he would have a son. And Isaac was born when, humanly speakingly, it was impossible. You say, well, why do you say that, Pastor? Well, Paul says in Romans chapter 4, verse 19, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. I mean, humanly speaking, yes, we look before this in the Bible, when people lived up to be, oh, 500, 600, 700, 800 years before the flood, and they had children up in advanced years. But at this time, for a man of 100 to have a child, even though he lived longer than we do today, still was humanly impossible. Those who trust in and serve the true Creator God do not serve an uncaring tyrant, but a loving master who cares deeply for his children. Abraham had placed his faith in God for salvation, and then he had lived a life of faith in God. And as he lives this life and he believes God's promises, now God wonderfully rewarded him for his faith. When the world thought it impossible, God rewarded Abraham's faith. Let's just think again about this. Abraham and Sarah had been married for decades. But even before this, when they were married, they didn't have children. Sarah was barren. Sarah was infertile. And then she passed the age of childbearing. Even if she could have had a child younger, which she couldn't, now, humanly, she cannot have a child. Indeed, at this time, she is 90 years old. Abraham is 100. Now, 13 years or so before, he did have a child, Ishmael, by Hagar. At that time, he could have a child. Now, he's past the age. Now, he's impotent. He cannot have a child. But God stepped in. And Sarah became pregnant by Abraham. And a son was miraculously conceived and then miraculously born. Abraham believed God. And God rewarded Abraham's faith with this little miracle child. Now, it's good to read the Bible. It's good to see what happened in the past. But it's not given to us just as a history lesson. It's given, as Paul says, for our admonition, so that we learn from it, so that we apply principles to our lives. And even so, we learn today that God rewards our faith in Him. God promises us things in the Bible. God leads us certain ways and convicts us that this is what He wants us to do. And yet sometimes we do not seem to receive rewards right now for it. How often we doubt that God is going to do things in our lives. How often we, like the apostles who surrounded Jesus, are those of little faith. We need to trust God. We need to live for God. God will reward your faith in Him when the time is right. Secondly, we need to realize that not only God rewards faith, but God's reward of faith is not salvation. That is not His reward of faith. You see, salvation is a gift, and a gift is not the same as a reward. A gift is freely given. A reward is something which we earn. A reward is something that we diligently work toward. Salvation is a free gift from God, and we just accept it by faith. You see, we read in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace, what is grace? Well, grace is something we don't deserve. For by grace you are saved, how? Through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is what? The gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. None of us are going to make it to heaven one day and say, man, look at me, I worked my way here. No, we work our way to hell. We don't work our way to heaven. If we get to heaven one day, why? It's because we've accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. That's what gets us to heaven. When we stand before God, we will not brag. We will say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Now, we accept by faith. Now, we give a gift, but it's accepted by faith. That's illustrated, I think, in this way. Let's say there's a massive building, multi-stories, and it catches fire. And there's people up on the 10th floor of this building or the 5th floor of this building or whatever. And they know there's fire behind them. And if they stay in the building, they're going to burn to death. But if they jump out, they're going to hit the pavement below and they're going to be killed. What are they going to do? Well, the fire department gets there. And the fire department stretches out a net down below. And they say, jump, jump, and the net will save you. Well, they jump. But the jumping doesn't save them. I mean, they could have jumped out of the building. There's no dent down there below and smash. They're dead. There has to be the net. The net is what saves them. But the net can be there, and unless they jump, they're still not going to be saved. In the same way, salvation is God's grace. It's His net of salvation. But we have to have faith and leap down into it. We are saved by grace, but it's through faith. And may I point out again, it is not the strength of our faith that saves us. It's the strength of God's grace, His strength. The man who jumped off that building could have total faith in a flimsy net that he jumps into and it busts loose, it's rotten, and he's still dead. He had total faith into it, but the net was no good. You see, on the other hand, he could be up there and say, I don't know, but I'm going to go ahead and have faith that's going to and leap out, and the net's secure, and he hits that net, which is a good net, and he's saved. In the same way, sometimes we think, well, maybe I didn't have enough faith. It's not the strength of our faith, it's the strength of our God, His grace. And we trust in His grace, and His grace is what saves us. God is who saves us. He saves us despite possibly the weakness of our faith when we first came to Christ. But just as we are saved by faith, we also are to live by faith afterwards. Ephesians 2, verse 10, then goes on to say, for you are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We are not saved to sit and stew. We are saved to serve. So we don't just say, hey, I'm saved. I don't do a thing now. I can just forget. No, we're saved. But now, because of gratitude, we serve God. And here's the beauty. God not only saves us, but then he empowers us to be able to serve him. And as we serve him, he promises us that he will reward us for serving him. He saved us. He empowered us to serve us. But as we serve him, he says, and I will reward you for this. And that's a gracious God. We read in Revelation chapter 22, verse 12, Jesus says, and behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. He says, I will reward you. Paul says in Colossians 3, verses 23 and 24, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance for your service, or for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. John says in 2 John chapter 1, verse 8, look to yourselves that you do not lose those things you have worked for, but that you may receive a full reward. God says, serve me. I will give you the power to serve me. I'll give you the opportunities to serve me. I will be with you as you serve me and work through you. And then, because you are my instrument, I'll reward you for that. I'll reward you for that. You see, the parallel here is seen in our salvation. Our salvation is now by faith. But our rewards come at the bema seat, the rewarding bench of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether good or bad. It's not that we're going to stand before the rewarding bench of Christ and he's going to determine our salvation. That was determined the moment you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're as saved as much now as you'll ever be as you stand in heaven for 10,000 years. You see, the moment you accept Christ, you're saved. Why do we go before his rewarding bench? To receive rewards. He will judge our works. Did you do them from the right motivation? Did you do them when you had a chance? How did you serve me? How faithful were you? And then he'll reward us according to our faithfulness. At Christ's rewarding seat, we read in 1 Corinthians 3:13 through 15, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. He says, everyone who has accepted Christ will be saved. We'll stand before his judgment seat. If we've served him faithfully, we'll be rewarded. If we haven't served him, we will lose our rewards. But we're not losing our salvation. It's just like if a person escaped from a burning building and just got out with the clothes on their back. They're still saved, but they have nothing with them. He says, if you don't serve me, you're just not going to get any rewards. But if you serve me, I will reward you. We can only be saved by God's grace through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ for our salvation. But then we receive rewards for our daily faith as we live for Christ. So it's not with Abraham. Abraham, I'll reward you by letting you be with me in heaven. No, he says, I'll reward you for being faithful to me in your life. Well, let's think something else up. God rewards faith in his time. Ah, there's the catch. It's his time. We'd like it to be in our time. Abraham wanted the child 25 years before. He would have liked that child when God first called him at age 75. Abraham had to wait until he was 100. This reward of faith came after many years of walking with God. God had first promised Abraham a posterity 25 years before while living in Ur of the Chaldees. Genesis 12, verse 2. You might jot these down. Genesis 12, 2. I will make of you a great nation. Then when Abraham arrived in the land God had promised him, God gives another promise. Genesis 12, verse 7. To your descendants I will give this land. Well, obviously he has to have children if he's going to have grandchildren and great-grandchildren, etc. When then later Abraham separated from Lot, giving him the choice of the land, God appeared to him and declared in Genesis 13, verses 14 through 16, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, westward, for all the land which you see I will give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants could also be numbered. More time passes. Still no baby. Abraham is forced to rescue Lot from invaders who had defeated Sodom. After that encounter, God again appeared to Abraham. And he says, Abraham, I'm going to protect you and I'm going to reward you. Abraham, the old man, asked God, what value, basically, he says, are earthly rewards since I'm childless? And then he says, well, maybe, God, you mean my steward, the manager of my household. Is he going to be counted as my son? And is he going to be the one who receives all these promises and the inheritance? So God clarifies his promise, declaring in Genesis 15, verse 4, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come forth from your own body shall be your heir. In other words, no, Abraham, it's going to be your own DNA. You are going to have a son. And then God went on to say in Genesis 15, 5, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. So shall your descendants be. Wow. He's probably excited. But more years pass. Abraham and Sarah then attempt to help God out. But when did God need some help? With the catastrophic plan that Abraham father his son by another woman. After this mistake, 13 years more roll by before God again speaks to Abraham, who's now 99 years old. After again promising him the land of Canaan to his descendants, God corrects Abraham's false misconceptions by explicitly stating in Genesis 17, verse 19, no, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants afterwards. Now, shortly thereafter, God visited the camp of Abraham with two angelic companions. And while there, God promises in Genesis 18, verse 10, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. Behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Now, Sarah's listening from the tent, and she can't believe it. And so she's laughing within herself. Am I, who's not basically 89, 90 years old, going to have a baby? No. And God replies, why did Sarah laugh, saying, I shall surely bear a son, since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Genesis 18, 13, and 14. Now, the next year, Abraham is 100. Sarah is 90. God keeps his promise in his perfect time. Baby Isaac is born. Why the delay of 25 years? Because in God's timing, it's a miracle baby. In God's timing, the world says that's not possible. In God's timing, it says God must be involved. In God's timing, in a sense, he's a perfect picture of the coming Messiah who will also be miraculously born. Just as Isaac later will be a perfect picture of Christ as the bridegroom. And Christ is the great sacrifice, a miraculous baby. Not virgin born, but miraculously born. He had to wait, but God's timing was perfect. And may I say, there's other times in our life where we wait and we wait and we say, you know, God, you know, sometimes God does reward us quickly, but sometimes He makes us wait until His perfect time. And there's even other times, may I say, that in this life, we don't see that reward. At other times, we must wait for that reward until we stand in the very presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God had promised Abraham that he and his descendants would inherit the entire land. You know, Abraham never saw that fulfillment in his lifetime. The only land he ever owned was a burial plot, which he will buy later on. Now, his descendants later would cross the Jordan River, possess it under the leadership of Joshua, but that was centuries later. And by the way, the full fulfillment of God's promise of the land still awaits the coming of Jesus Christ in the establishment of his kingdom, when the Jewish people will have their full land as his. But mark this down, God never breaks his promises. And his word will be kept in his perfect time in the future. Even if it's not in this lifetime, he will keep his word. And God's timing is always best. We might think we know better than God. We don't. And we might think, Lord, why don't you give it to me now? God says, you're not ready for it yet. Or I won't get the glory as I would later. Wait for my timing. One more point. When God rewards faith, it becomes joy. It brings with it joy. They are rejoicing. Sarah is laughing now, not in unbelief, but in pure delight. And what do they name the little baby? What God has said he'd be called. Isaac, which means laughter. Every time they saw little Isaac running around and said, Isaac, they were saying, laughter, pure joy. God wants us to enjoy life. He doesn't want us to walk around with a frown on our face all the time. He doesn't want us to walk around as if we've been baptized in vinegar and took some kind of horrible medicine for communion. He doesn't want us to walk around and people look at it and go, man, if that's a Christian, I don't want to be one of those. He wants us to have joy. He wants us to have life abundantly. And his blessings and rewards are given to us to be enjoyed. And when we are required to wait for God's perfect timing, we will enjoy those rewards far more than we would have even now. And may I say, you can rest assured that when the time comes and we stand in his presence, we've been rewarded by him at his bema seat, we are going to enjoy our life to the full, everlasting joy and contentment in his presence forever and ever. And we will look back and say, ah, that's why I had to wait. That's why God said, I will reward you later. Yes, God does reward our faith, both in this life and in the future. And sometimes we must wait longer than we would like, but in his perfect time, we will rejoice with great joy. If you are here and you are a child of God, won't you trust Jesus today, both to strengthen you now as you live by faith and to reward you when the time is right? And if someone listens to these words here or later on by recording, if you've never begun your walk of faith by placing your faith in Jesus Christ for salvation as your Lord and Savior, won't you go to him right this instant in prayer? Put your faith in him. Ask him to be your Savior. Ask him to give you a home with him forever and to empower you now as you live for him. He'll save you, and he'll be with you forever. Let's stand. Our Father in heaven, as we stand today, help us, dear Lord, to have open hearts. Maybe we've grown discouraged along life's way. Maybe we say, you know, I've been a Christian for years, but some things aren't working the way I thought they would. I've tried to serve God, and yet I don't always see the rewards now. Help us to know, dear Lord, you never break your word. You will reward us in your time. You will bring joy. And dear Lord, may we look to the coming of Jesus Christ. May we look to the day we stand in your presence. May we look forward even to the rewarding bench of Jesus Christ. Dear Lord, for those who listen to these words who do not know Jesus, may this be the day. May this be the hour and indeed the very moment where they ask Jesus to be their Savior and put their faith in him. To you be the glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you join me as we close in song? Amazing Grace.
Keep looking up. You're dismissed.